हरे कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्रीमद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
He who conducteth himself according to this way, never findeth his kingdom distressed or afflicted. And that monarch, subjugating the whole earth, enjoyeth a high degree of felicity. Okay, so he's saying is all these things he's been describing. So if someone, a monarch, follows this, then he'll be successful. Everything will work for him. If he doesn't follow this, then naturally, to that degree, he will be unsuccessful. We always have to remember is everything comes out of Dharma, right? If you have Dharma, then your Artha, Kama, everything else will come. But if there's no Dharma, then how they'll be profit, how they'll be justice, how they'll be anything, right? Because it's the basis of the whole. In other words, Dharma is those activities that Krishna appreciates, right? And if Krishna is happy, then naturally everything else comes. Right? That's the whole idea. Krishna's pleased, everything comes. Krishna's not pleased, then how you're going to be pleased unless you're stealing it. Does that make sense? So therefore, it's just like amongst thieves. You steal from someone else, that's not a problem. But you can't steal amongst each other, right? Does that make sense? See, some thieves go out. They steal from one man. But they shouldn't be so dishonest to steal from each other. They should divide it up according to their agreement. Does that make sense? So, but they're still thieves. Right? So in the same way, if we steal from, you know, God and the material energy, and then we just divide it up according to the rule amongst the thieves, that doesn't mean one is honest. Does that make sense? So the modern system, where they're not basing things on religion, they're thieves. Though they may be very sophisticated and amongst themselves have very nice rules, you know, just like as if thieves, if someone cheats another thief, they'll be punished. So in the same way then amongst these thieves there. Does that make sense? But it's God, so then how are you taking it? Unless it's your quota, unless it's according to religious principles. Does that make sense? So, in this way then, if one follows religion, right, one will be protected by it. One who protects religion is protected by religion. Everything goes very nicely for them. Everything goes well. Yeah? Does that make sense? Yes.
Right, it said that you only get what you deserve.
You only get what you deserve, yes.
So, how is it that you can take more than what's in your quota?
You only get what you deserve. How do you take more than what's your quota? It's called stealing. Right? But that means then you get less later. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So, you know, you have a certain amount of prasad, okay? And it'll be divided up, everyone will get a certain amount, right? Then you take more than that, means then later on when others are getting, you won't get any. You already had yours, right? In fact, if you took more than what was in it, then next time they won't give you either, you know? You know what I'm saying? So it's all balanced up very nicely. That's why it's considered sin, because you're going against the rule. You're taking something that's not yours. Yeah? Okay. O monarch, I hope no well-behaved, pure soul, and respected person is ever ruined and his life taken on a false charge or theft by thy ministers ignorant of shastras and acting from greed. Right? In other words, anybody who's properly behaved, then because the ministers are greedy and they have something, then they'll take his property or punish them or kill them or anything like that. In other words, an innocent person can never be punished. Right? That's considered as bad as letting a criminal go. Right? So in the modern society, you see there's a lack of balance because they're so worried about an innocent person being convicted that they let criminals go. Right? But both are just as bad. Right? Before it was, no, they might be a criminal, better safe than sorry. But then innocent people were punished. And so now to make sure no innocent people are punished, criminals are let go. The real justice is in between these two. Right? No innocent person is punished, no criminal is ever let go. Right? That's the proper balance. Okay? Is that, you understand? That's why when one doesn't follow the Shastra, it's never balanced. It seems though, but it's not. It sounds nice. Okay. Better that, you know, someone who's not a, you know, we wouldn't want anyone innocent to be punished, therefore, you know, we might let some criminals go. But the problem is those criminals will not go bother innocent persons. Right? Does that make sense? So one has to be thorough. One can't out of greed or out of, one doesn't have time, right? So many people, they don't have time, but they take up responsibility. And then they can't do it properly. So one thing, it's emergency, it's needed, okay. But then one takes the humble attitude, right? But if one is very strong on one's points but not thorough, then what's the meaning? Right? In other words, to that degree of thoroughness, to that degree of strength you can apply. Does that make sense? You don't have time to read all the things, but you've heard one or two things about the person, so therefore he's guilty. That's not enough. Does that make sense? Right? Yeah? So you have to look at everything. That's why he mentions here. He could have just said, is anybody charged on a false charge? Right? And therefore being punished. No, but he says, well-behaved, pure soul, respected. Right? In other words, if that's there, then if something's wrong, you have to look into it very seriously. Because there may be a mistake. Or someone of that caliber, then you can give a certain kind of punishment. That's why he says, their life is taken. Is ever ruined or his life is taken. Because for a Brahmin, you know, to kill a Brahmin, that's the worst thing you can do. So kings just don't do it. And to ruin their reputation is equal to killing a Brahmin. You'll get the same reaction. Right? So that's why these things are mentioned. Okay. O Bull among men, I hope thy ministers, never from covetousness, set free a real thief, knowing him to be such, and having apprehended him with the booty about him. Right? So in other words, they're letting someone go because they'll get a cut or there's some, you know, connection or something like that. So both of these things are very bad. So now we've gone through all these different things, right? So now he's concluding. So these are the conclusions of the Dharma Shastra. Is that having given the whole justice system, who can be punished for what, who gets what position, then you can't punish an innocent person or a respected person. You can't let go a thief. Right? It means if you don't know, then that's there. But if later you find out, then it will be reviewed. Right? That's also there. If you find out later someone's innocent, it's reviewed. And correct it. If you find out someone was punishable and they weren't, then it's reviewed, then they're punished. Does that make sense? In other words, you go by what you understand now because you've thoroughly gone through it, but if later on it adjusts, you know, if some case is wrongly dealt with, the king has to correct it. Right? If he finds that a minister dealt in a way that wasn't proper, or due to greed or lack of qualification, the king must correct that judgment. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. O Bharata, I hope thy ministers are never won over by bribes, nor do they wrongly decide the disputes that arise between the rich and the poor, right? Because they're ministers, then they're moving with the rich, so they can't favor them if they're behaving badly, right? At the same time, is they can't, like in the modern, they can't favor against the rich person for the poor if the poor don't, it's not, they're not deserving, right? Does that make sense? It can't, it means, in other words, that everyone has to be protected. Because if the rich aren't protected, where's the money? And if there's no money, where's the development? Therefore, poor people will stay poor. Right? It's only if rich people are rich and given charity and properly pay their taxes, then the poor people are benefited. Right? But if you take the money from the rich, where will you get more? Does that make sense? The rich will continue to generate more money. So if you take it away from them one time, then where will more money come from? It looks like you've gotten so much money now, but what about the future? And not only that, then people who can make money will tend to move out of your kingdom. Right? So then you don't have the facility for generating more money. So therefore, no sacrifice goes on, no charity goes on, and no taxes are paid. Right? Does that make sense? Dost thou keepest thyself free from the 14 vices of kings, namely atheism? Right. Notice that was the first one up. In other words, they're being practical so they don't follow the Shastra. Right? Because the Shastra will put restrictions that may seem to slow things down, so you want to make things go very nicely and quickly, so therefore you're practical, you practice atheism. That won't fly. Untruthfulness. Anger. Incautiousness, right? You just go ahead with things. It means anger, you're just going to do things that shouldn't be done. Right? That always happens. Untruthfulness means it's not according to Shastra. Incautiousness means you won't be thorough. You'll just go ahead either... Yeah, you won't be thorough, so therefore it's not well thought out. Something will go wrong. Procrastination, it should be done. Everything's there, but you don't do it. If you don't know, then you wait. Right? You don't do something when you don't know what should be done. But if you know what should be done and you don't do it, then that's bad. Non-visit to the wise. In other words, if you don't, the kings must regularly visit the saintly persons, visit the temples, visit the gurus. That way then they're always benefited. One, their piety increases, and two, they get more depth of understanding of their own knowledge. Idleness means you do nothing. Restlessness of mind. The mind is always disturbed because either, you know, too many things, you're not doing things at the right time and place, you're not properly focused, you're not engaged in spiritual activities, you're allowing your material desires to come up too much. Taking counsels with only one man means you have to get a variety of things. It doesn't mean that that one man is not the one you come back to. But you should see the different perspectives. Even if they're not correct, you know what perspectives are there and how to deal with it. Does that make sense? You have so many ministers, and therefore they will give you different perspectives because they all are running the kingdom in different ways. So accordingly to the needs of their people, to the needs of the efficiency of their area, they will have a perspective. You need to know all those perspectives. It doesn't mean that their perspective is right, but you need to know how they think so that you can make a decision that will correct those perspectives. Does that make sense? But if you never hear them, you never know what's going on. Does that make sense? Consultation with persons unacquainted with the science of profit. In other words, the king can't consult with those persons on management of the kingdom who don't know the science of managing a kingdom. Does that make sense? So that's very important. When you're dealing, means if you're dealing with philosophy, someone who knows philosophy, then they know that. You can consult with them. But just when you're dealing with these other material sciences, if they don't know the science, you can't consult with them on that. Does that make sense? They can give you some, okay, a spiritual person can give you some spiritual direction according to, how you should spiritually view it, but actually how to materially operate the science itself, you have to take advice from those who know the science. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, they may be a great sadhu, but they don't know how to cook. How you'll ask them how this recipe works? You have to go to someone who knows cooking. Then you can ask, you can get proper advice. Does that make sense? That's why then age or other considerations, someone's a Prabhupada disciple, therefore they know everything. That's okay when it comes to philosophy. But when it comes to management, it's who knows management, they're the ones that should be there. It has nothing to do with age. Right? So you may have a whole group of senior devotees who can give you nice advice on spiritual considerations. And when it comes to management, you choose who knows management. It has nothing to do with age or, spiritual generations or relatives or anybody like that. Right? Vidura is a Shudra, but he's the prime minister. Why? Because he's Dharma personified. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the way the Vedic works. It's not stuck on these things. People say it's stuck on all these. It's not. The point is it's efficiency. It's you have to get it done. But you still are getting it done according to Shastra. Right? So practically applying Shastra, that's Vedic. Just being practical without Shastra, that's modern. Right? Now, that practical without the Shastra may sometimes work, but it may also not work. Because it's God's creation, God's laws. So if you follow God's laws and make them practical, that's your best solution. You don't follow God's laws, right? And you make a practical solution. It'll work at the moment now, but tomorrow it may not work at all. Or it may even cause difficulty tomorrow. Right? Does that make sense?
In our society, how much do we consult, karmis on professional things? Like,
how much do we consult karmis and professional things? If there's a need, we do. But on areas that we already that we know more than them, why we would consult? You know what I'm saying? You know, you want to plant. You're new in the area. You want some advice on, how does it work here? The soil, the weather, the seasons. You go to the local farmers. You find out. Like that. Anything practical. You want to know how to fix your car. Go to mechanic. But never think that they're higher than the devotees. Right? In other words, one who knows spiritual knowledge is always the top. Material knowledge is less. But where you have someone who knows Vedic material knowledge, you would take that over just non-Vedic material knowledge. Right? In other words, you don't take the principle just because they're a devotee that can't know anything. At the same time, is then when you say your decision's wrong, no, we're devotees, so, we're senior. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that. It's not balanced. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So you just have to. Main thing is what works, but it has to be still what they say. You have to take it in consideration of our philosophy and culture. Like that. Abandonment of a settled plan, right? It means, in other words, you plan out something, it's there, and then you just abandon it because of something. You just get nervous or you get mental. That shouldn't work. Only if the plan proves that it doesn't work and those involved in making that plan also agree, then you change it. right? Divulgence of counsels, we discussed before, is that whatever is the advice on getting something done, only amongst those who need to know, they know, anyone else should not know. And it is not their right to know. They can say all they want, it's their right to know, but then just like management is someone's business, okay, I'm controlled by the management. Okay. So then therefore everything about the management, whatever they do, you know, which nostril they picked, I have to know. But then the same time is what happens in the community then also affects the management and everybody else. So therefore everyone in the community has a full right to know everything about everybody else. It goes both ways. Right? Everyone just loves to do everything one-sided. It's always a one-way street. Right? Does that make sense? But where does that come from? Who operates a one-way street and that's just the way it is? Right? Women. Right? And that's just the way you go. You just have to live with it. So therefore, if your leadership is acting as women, therefore you can't call it leadership. Because women follow. But this whole idea is that I'm in the community, they're leaders, I have the right to know. No, you don't. It is absolutely not your right. In fact, it's Shastra that you don't. You try to do, then you're sinful. What you're supposed to know, that you know. You need it in your service? Okay, then you know. You don't need it in your service just because you feel like it or you feel insecure or you just gotta know, just like some latest gossip. That's sinful. That's prajalpa. Right? Even a devotee has a problem in the spiritual life. You sitting around talking about it, wanting to know the details, that's called prajalpa. You may say it's about devotee, or I just want to know, or I'm part of the society. It's prajalpa. The acharyas say that. It's not your right. You want to take it? Go ahead. But it means it's prajalpa. And you will be contaminated by it. It will affect your spiritual life. Right? No. Everybody has the right to confidentiality. It doesn't matter how big or how small you are. That's just the way it is. We're human beings. Right? So your right as a human being does not step over the right of somebody else. They're a leader, now you say, now I have the right over them. How does that work? I thought they're senior. If you're junior, how do you have the right? You know? They're not asking you how many chapatis you ate today. So then, why do you got to know how many they ate? You know? You're saying, well, I'm surrendered to this. They're surrendered to you. What? They're surrendered to taking care of you. Does that make sense? So one has to be very, very careful. That's why divulgence of counsels isn't something to happen. Right? You have to be very, very careful. Non-accomplishment of beneficial projects, right? What projects are beneficial should be done, right? Things that are for sacrifice for the betterment of the public, you know, proper roads, you know, tanks, facilities, protection, they have to be done. All those things then will make everything work well. You don't do them, how everything will work well. It just can't. And undertaking everything without reflection. So without contemplating it, thinking about it, then what's the use, right? In education, then in manana, what makes manana, manana? The performance of the activity?
Interest.
Interest is there. But that interest then would result in?
Reflecting.
Reflecting, right? So in other words, knowledge and contemplation, along with practice, you know, application and practice, that gets you good result. If you just do things without contemplating it, you'll never get a good result. And if you contemplate without doing things, you'll also never get a good result. So therefore you get your mudhas and your armchair speculators. Right? So both have missed the point. you combine the two, then that's proper. By these, O king, even monarchs firmly seated on the thrones are ruined. In other words, if you don't properly avoid these 14, then even kings who are strongly situated will be ruined. Right? You know, something will go wrong. Right? Look what happened to Duryodhana. Who did he take counsel from? Right? Shakuni and Karna. Did he take counsel from anyone else? No. Therefore, he was ruined. Right? He was punishing innocent people. Right? Out of greed. Right? You understand? So, like that, then there's always something that goes like that. Hath thy study of the Vedas, thy wealth and knowledge of the Shastras and marriage been fruitful? Right? I mean, there should be a result of it. Right? From study of the Vedas and knowledge of the Shastras, then you should be able to apply it in your life. You should be getting the benefits of that. Right? The wealth, are you getting benefit from that? You have wealth, are you doing something with it? You know, it's not like the lady who starved to death because she didn't want to break her last $1 million fixed deposit. Right? That's not this, you know. You know what I'm saying? Wealth should be used, you know, for proper things. Right? For charity, for sacrifice, taking proper care of the family. Right? Had marriage been fruitful? So then is it there? The children are there. The family is progressing nicely. Everyone's becoming Krishna conscious. One is becoming detached from the material energy. Right? All these different things. That means then it's being fruitful. If it's not, then what's the meaning? Right? You want to be harassed. I mean, you could do so many things. You go stand out in the middle of the highway, you know. Plenty of people will yell at you. Vaishampayana continued. After the Rishi had finished, Yudhishthira asked, O Rishi, do the Vedas, wealth, wife, and knowledge of the Shastra bear fruit? The Rishi answered, the Vedas are said to bear fruit when he that hath studied them performeth the Agnihotra and other sacrifices. In other words, by study of the Veda, if you understand I'm supposed, my life is meant for, you know, pleasing others, then that is the fruit of the Vedas. Right? In other words, you have that humility, then, how do you say? Then you understand, okay, my austerities, and from that should result in sacrifice, right? Otherwise, I do my austerities. I mean, I perform my duties, but I'm supposed to get result back. But that's not actually the fruit of the Vedas. It's I perform my austerities, I perform my religious duties, but I do it for the benefit of others. That's sacrifice. Otherwise, okay, you go to the spiritual world, you do all your duties nicely, but it's not to please Krishna, it's not to please the devotees, then what would we call that, right? Right? What happens if that's your mentality in the spiritual world? No, you don't come back because you wouldn't have got there in the first place. Right? Means you were there, and then what happens? You get the boot. Huh? And then what happens? Then, once you get the boot, where do they send you?
Here.
Here, yes. So, in other words, you look around the room, these are all the ones that didn't understand this principle of the performance of sacrifice. Does that make sense? So when you learn that, then the fruit of the Vedas is there, you can go back to Godhead. Does that make sense? So even your spiritual life, your austerities, have to be for someone else's benefit. You will naturally benefit by it, but ultimately it's got to be for Krishna and the Vaishnava's pleasure. Right? Then your austerities have meaning. Otherwise, how austere was Hiranyakashipu? Right? I mean, he was austere. But for what purpose? Was that for sacrifice? No, it was totally self-centered. Therefore, he doesn't get the benefit, right? He doesn't go back to Godhead, right? He went back to Godhead? No. You had to wait to the point where they become Jagai Madhai. Then they're making sacrifice. Then they go back to Godhead. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Wealth is said to bear fruit when he that hath it enjoyeth it himself and give it away in charity. In other words, you have money. If you're not getting facility and enjoying it, and you're not giving in charity, then it's not bearing fruit. Right? You have money, you don't spend it, you know, you're miserly and you suffer. What's the meaning? Why have it? You know what I'm saying? Oh, and if you don't give in charity and don't share it with others, what's the use of having it? Right? Because either one is miserliness. You won't spend it on yourself and family, you won't spend it on others. That doesn't mean you waste it, but it means if there's a need, you spend it. Right? Does that make sense? You don't spend it on things that are unnecessary, but if they're in other words, appropriate for your position, then what's the meaning if you don't spend it? Does that make sense? Right? A wife is said to bear fruit when she is useful and when she beareth children. Right? Useful means she doesn't sit around and do nothing. Women are always active, so if she does nothing, then that's not proper. Right? Right? And children, then that's naturally family life means children, so then when there's children, then that's complete. Knowledge of the Shastras is said to bear fruit when it resulteth in humility and good behavior. Right? Means if you have knowledge, then if you don't, if you don't become humble and develop good behavior, what's the meaning of knowing the Shastra? If you become proud and arrogant because of knowing the Shastra, then that means it's useless. Right? The whole point is if you're humble, you're tolerant, right, then you yourself are satisfied and you are trying to help others be satisfied. You're engaged in sacrifice. Right? You're performing your duties. Where have we heard this before? Yeah, Bhagavad Gita. So austerity, charity, and sacrifice are to be performed by everybody. Right? Even the great personalities, the saintly persons. Like that. Vaishampayana continued. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, the Veda is what's used for sacrifice. So if therefore it doesn't result in sacrifice, what's the meaning of it? Right? And Shastras means you have knowledge. If knowledge doesn't result in humility, right? In Bhagavad Gita it says the first point of humility, of knowledge is humility. So therefore, if the study of the Shastras doesn't result in humility, then it's been a waste of time. Right? Does that make sense? Right, if you're not comfortable, if you're not able to make others comfortable, what's the use of your money? And if in the family, then your relationship with the wife, the interaction with the wife, everything's not going very nicely, what's the use? Right, that's what Chanakya says. If you know your mother's already dead and your wife is not supportive, then why you're in the house? You know, like why you're staying? You know, like that. Vaishampayana continued. The great ascetic Narada, having answered Yudhishthira thus, again asked that just ruler, "Do the officers of thy government, O king, that are paid from the taxes levied on the community, take only their just dues from the merchants that come to thy territories, from distant lands impelled by the desire of gain?" So in other words, are the taxes just only what they need to be, right? Because he says from distant lands, so the minister has to count that, right? There's not such a thing, the Vedas does not have such a thing as a flat rate, you know, on duties, right? Taxes, that's one thing, but still that's adjustable according to the thing. But duties are always adjustable. Because the point is if you grew it right here and you're selling it right here, then that's one thing. You can take more duty. right? But if they bought it from, it's grown far away, and they have to transport it, and then transport, it's not just a one-day transport. They have to store it. You know, they have to keep guards. They have to do so many things to maintain it. All that has to be taken into consideration. Therefore, because he could, that person can only sell it for the same amount as the person that sells it here. Right? You know what I'm saying? If the man here is selling it for 10 rupees, you know, and he just right from the land here, and someone else is bringing it from far away, he can't sell it for more and say, well, I brought it from far away, unless it's something special. Right? So therefore, he can only sell for 10 rupees. So how much can you tax him? Less than the person who is local. Does that make sense? So ministers have to consider all this. That's why they're ministers. They have the brains to understand this. So if they do that, good. But if they don't, that's wrong. Does that make sense? So this idea is everybody just pays the same tax. That doesn't work. That's not Vedic. Vedic is each thing is considered and you pay. But as we also understand the Vedic, everybody doesn't pay tax. Right? Only those who generate money pay tax. Right? Does that make sense? So Brahmins don't pay tax, Shudras don't pay tax. Right? Kshatriyas, then, if they're protected by, if they're on their own, they don't pay a tax. They just give in charity and do sacrifices. But if they're under the protection of another king, then they assist in his wars or in his sacrifices or that, if asked. If not, then they don't. But Vaishyas who generates money, they pay tax, not the people who work in the shop. So you have a business, you pay the tax. All the people that work for you, they don't pay tax. Right? You understand how simple the government's, you know, how you say, tax program, I mean, machinery would be if all they were doing is taxing the people that generated the money? Mm-hmm. Right? You take one store, you know, like, what is it, Marks and Spencer's or Harris, how many thousands of people work there? So that means you have to tax all of them and do the income on that. No, you just tax the guy who runs the shop. He it's the same amount of money for him. Right? He either has to pay his laborers, then they pay it to the government, or he just pays it directly to the government and his laborers get less. You know what I'm saying? If you're getting 100 pounds, 70, and 25 pounds are taking tax, you just pay them 75 pounds. They get the same amount. And you pay the 25 to the government. So one person does it. So they only have to target only those people. Right? You could cut down the whole government expense by, you know, down to 10% or something, or less, even more, and the 2-3%. So that means then the government leaves next less taxes to run all that. That means now, or they could do more benefit for the public. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the Vedic concept. So the modern is not necessarily so practical. Are the merchants, O king, treated with consideration in thy capital and kingdom, capable of bringing their goods thither without being deceived by the false pretext of both the buyers and the officers of government? Right? So in other words, people are coming from outside for profit. They make profit, you make profit. Right? Means people in your kingdom get more things. Things are sold, things, you know, more stuff is coming in, and you're getting some duty or tax off of them. So are the prices properly fixed so they don't get cheated? They don't know they're from another country. Right? At the same time, are they not being cheated by your government officers, and are they not being cheated by the locals because they don't know the local price? So that's why the king fixes the price every, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks, like that. Then so everything moves properly. Right? He'll adjust. Right? Things are more rare, price goes up. Things are more common, price goes down. But the king makes sure it does that. Season comes in, like how many times you're buying from suppliers, right? And that how many times that the season comes in and the thing drops in price, but they keep charging you the same amount of money. Right? They'll always do that. That's where they make their profit. You don't know. You don't know it's tomato season. You know, you're still paying, you know, the price that you paid before when it's out of season. Right? And if you don't say anything, they'll keep doing that. So the government sets the prices so that you know. Listenest thou always, O monarch, to the words fraught with instructions in religion and wealth of old men acquainted with economic doctrines? Right? In other words, here old means those who are have the knowledge, who are realized. They may be old in age because they've dealt with it a long time, or they may be just exceedingly qualified. But in other words, those who are wise in the subject of economics and religion, then are you hearing from them? Right? If they only know economics, not good enough. They know economics and religion, then that's proper. Are gifts of honey and clarified butter made to the brahmanas intended for the increase of agricultural produce, of kine, of fruits and flowers, and for the sake of virtue? So in other words, by taking care of the Brahmins, then your agricultural produce, your domesticated animals, the fruits and flowers, everything increases. Prabhupada once mentioned the only reason that fruits and flowers now is because of the devotees. Right? Because the people are so sinful now, there wouldn't be any fruits or flowers. And if you notice, they're still here, but generally they don't have any smell or taste. Right? Like that. So I'm not here for the devotees. So the point is when the devotees, when the Brahmins are taken care of, then everything increases. If they're not taken care of, everything goes down. Givest thou always, O King, regularly unto all the artisans and artists employed by thee, the materials of their works and their wages for periods not more than 4 months. Okay, so the artists and artisans who are working for them, do you give them all their materials? In other words, they're artists, they're not managers. It's not their business to get their materials. You should supply it, because otherwise what can they get? You want excellent things? You have the people to get the excellent materials. Right? Then you give it to them. Someone may be able to get, but most artists aren't like that. They're just good artists. They're not good arrangers. So you have to do everything for them, right? If they're shudras, if they're being taken care of by you, means you have to protect them, means give them the facility they need so they can do their work, right? And, you know, how you say, for periods not more than 4 months, so it shouldn't fall behind more than 4 months, shouldn't give ahead more than 4 months. Right? If it falls behind, they get too much in anxiety. Falls goes ahead, they get too much puffed up. There's the saying, the shallow stream floods quickly. You give servants more money than they should get, you ruin them. Right? So many times you have a nice person who cleans and does everything in the community, washes the clothes nicely and that. And then some sentimental lady gives her, you know, 3 silk saris, and then gives him all the leftover food, and then this, and then that, and then she stops working good. Why? Because the stream floods. Like that. Like that. Previously, all those persons would do very nice work. Now they don't know how to clean or do anything at all. Why? Because they're being ruined by giving them too much. By sentimental people who don't know what they're dealing with. Right? You have a silk sari, give it to some devotee who needs a silk sari. Right? Why are you giving it to the cleaning lady who's happy with a, you know, 200, 300 rupee cotton sari? Right? Does that make sense? She's part of the family, that's one thing. Give her one, she can wear it on special occasions. But just to give freely like that, that means you're not using your brains. You're not thinking. That's not charity. Giving charity to someone who's not qualified doesn't deserve. You give food to a hungry person, that's charity. Right? But you give very expensive food to a kid off the street, that's not charity. That's foolishness. Neither they'll appreciate it. So therefore your money was wasted. Right? Money should get something done. You just want to feed the guy, it only takes you 20 rupees. You feed the guy with 200 rupees, then they don't appreciate it. You wasted, you know, 180 rupees. So don't think, oh, I'm so charitable. No, you're not. You're wasting money. You're 20 rupees charitable and 180 rupees foolish. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is these things that are nice, still intelligence is used. Sentiment's not enough. It's just not enough. Examine thou the works executed by those that are employed by thee, and applaudest thou them before good men, and rewardest thou them, having shown them proper respect. So in other words, those that so those who are employed by you, in other words, they're the ones that you're taking care of. So when they do something right, are you applauding them in front of good people? Right? Because then they'll feel very good, they'll be very inspired, it will be known, good people will respect them. Like that. And reward is them, then showing them proper respect. They may be junior to you, but it doesn't mean you don't respect them. You know what I'm saying? You have an artist who can paint very nicely and he's painting things for you. He should be respected for his, you know, artistic abilities. Not that, oh, he's the shooter, I'm paying him, so I treat him like trash. No, you have to respect him. Right? So when he's properly respected, you properly give the facility, you properly honor him, then that's when things go really nice. Does that make sense? That means, you understand? Means, how many Michelangelos were there out there? But this one was given facility and respected. Therefore, you see, you know, the work he did. But it's not that he was the only one out there. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that otherwise, how is it suddenly there's so many artists and so many things are going on? Well, before that in history, nothing was going on. Right? And after that, nothing was going on. Right? You have to remember, I think Mozart died of poverty. Right? At 6 years old, he could play, you know, full, you know, technical, musical pieces on whatever he played, piano or harpsichord, like that. He was, you know, the queen's, pet. But what happened to that guy, right? Now everyone, you know, plays his music, everyone like this, listens to music. But he died of poverty. I think Beethoven wasn't much different. You know? You understand? So that's the whole point. When artists are supported, then it suddenly goes up. It's not that this suddenly out of nowhere the artist walked in and therefore it happened. No. When they're cultivated, when they're protected, then it happens. If they're not, it doesn't happen. Like that. O bull of the Bharata race, followest thou the aphorisms of the sage in respect of every concern, particularly those relating to elephants, horses, and cars? Okay, aphorisms of the sage. So therefore, sages have given these, you know, how to take care of the elephants, the horses, the cars. It means the Shastras mention that, so they have verses on that. They're very short, right? Vishishta Muni, I think, has given so many things on these things. So then, are they being followed by you? You know? Because if you are, things work nicely, right? You want to keep elephants, you have to keep them happy. You know, you can't stuff them into a little box somewhere. They're not happy. Right? The rule is there. You know, how that when the elephant lifts up his trunk, it can't hit the ceiling. Right? If it does, that's not a happy elephant. Right? So then how is that elephant going to work for you or fight for you? Right? Right? The rule is this: when your kingdom is satisfied and happy, then you can go to war. So in the same way, if your horses and elephants aren't satisfied, how they will fight? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So almost done, but I think tomorrow we'll finish this section and like that.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.